Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up? What is happening? It's In This League right here on Sports Grid. It is the ITL Daily Edition. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at Bogman Sports. That's him. Is it the Welsh? That's me. Hello, you. Thank you for tuning in, whether it's radio or podcast. I don't know. I don't even know anymore. We don't get any numbers. Wouldn't it be great to know, like, where and how people listened?
I'm good. You know.
You know what?
Smart man right there. Checks clear. I'm good. So.
It's a smart man right there. Don't get too into the weeds. I get into the weeds because then you get like 10 people respond. It's all podcasts. And then it's like, does anyone listen on the radio? Is anybody actually listening? I do know that the listenership has actually gone up and everything that's going on because people looking for content out there. And we are providing. That's what we are doing.
On the daily.
Yeah, exactly. Checks are clear. And that's another good point here. Let's make sure them checks clear for May. Right there, folks. All of us. We're all in the same boat. Make sure them checks clear. I actually did a check-in with Bogman. This is how much like I have ingrained, probably to the extent that you don't even want nor care, where I was like, I called Bogman. I was like, did you get your stimulus check? And he's like, no. I'm like, did you file it? Did you go to the thing? He's like, I did it. And he's like,
it's like my dad over here.
I know, no, I did 100%.
I did. My mom did the same thing to me. She's like, you still haven't gotten it? I'm like, no. And she's like, well, why not? I'm like, I told both of you. Like, I don't know what's going on here.
Me and your mom need to have a conversation. We need to check in.
Apparently,
we'll have a state of the union on Bogman.
Yeah, you guys need to figure me out here. But no, I went and looked and it said, you have to re-enter all your information. So like, I guesstimated at my, tax return from last year and stuff. And it was like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
That's wrong. So I had to like call my mom and be like, do you have this exact number or this exact number? Because she's an accountant. She does all my taxes and stuff. So I put in the exact right numbers and they're like, oh, okay, we'll mail you a check.
Yeah.
14
and then,
business days.
But then
and they said, mailing it on the first.
Well, so. But let's tell the truth here, because the conversation, I was like, I need to do my check-in with Bogman. I'm like, did you get this? Are you going to get this? Did you get this set? Did you look? Because also this is a public service announcement, by the way.
Oh,
this is on May 4th. You guys have till tomorrow. If you have not submitted or fixed your stuff by May 5th, you ain't getting it this year. You're going to get it in your taxes in 2021. So I was checking with Bogman and he's like, yeah, they said they sent it out tomorrow. And Bogman's like, I should get it in like 3 days. I'm like, no. He's like, I get it like next week. He's like, if not, it's going to be worrisome. I'm like, let's look here, Bogman. And I immediately went on and Googled and I was like 14 days. And Bogman was like, yeah, it'll probably get here sooner. It'll get here sooner.
Cut it close. I tell you what, I'm going to be doing the Welsh and checking my mail every single day.
Absolutely.
From here on out. I usually don't do it. I hate checking my mail, especially because, I don't know, it's one of those weird spots where, a bunch of people are touching stuff.
No, it's a good, you know? It's a great, I mean, see, that is a valid point I will accept in nowadays. Like every
That's
time I get
been
the mail.
I've doing for the last 20 years is not checking my mail because people might have touched the mailbox. So
Bogman's always been saying that to me. He's like, I'm really worried about the next pandemic. So I don't know if I want to go check the mail every day. So.
I've always been a germaphobe. Everybody knows that. So definitely wash my hands.
Do you wash your hands after you get the mail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I wash my hands after everything now. I mean, I used to be a pig. I wasn't a pig up to the point where, like, I wouldn't wash my hands after using the bathroom or anything. But, it was just kind of, I'm good. I'm not a germaphobe. I'm not worried about, door handles or anything being gross, really. Like, I have to feel it to wash my hands or go to the bathroom. Like, those were the two things. Like, I got something sticky on my hands. Like, oh, gross. you know, now I'll go wash my hands. Other than that, meh.
Nowadays,
I've done too much yard work.
Nowadays.
Nowadays it's the only hand sanitizer makes me smell, you know, like an old lady because I borrowed it from my mom and it has all these weird scents in it and stuff because you can't buy any in the store. So yeah, exactly. So I don't care. I'm like, whatever. Make me smell like Fruit Loops. That's fine. And I put it all over my hands and then smell like a weirdo. So
yeah, that's what it is. You know, it's funny because I think about the days where, you know, in some of our secret shows, which shout out to the in the coming weeks, we're going to do our secret show bracket tournament. I like someone in our army, too, was like, is there a secret show out? I don't see it. And it's like, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to be out there. Don't worry about it. But in that same style, I've talked many, many times about my horror of the people that would bring their mugs and their Yetis into the bathroom and leave them. And I take a picture and I shame them every single time. And I'm horrified by it. More so, the next step would be if I'm in a bathroom and I hear someone just clearly not wash their hands. I'm like justified because that's now grounds for like arrest. Like I might be able to do a citizen's arrest on someone if they don't
just
wash their hands.
Cops. You know, call the cops if they don't wash their hands.
Can I arrest them?
So I think you could, but why would you want to touch them? They're not hand washers. They might have stuff.
I had a lot of retorts, but that might have been a really good point. You bring up a really good point at the very, very end there.
Not washing their hands after they take a dump. What else are they not washing their hands after? Come on.
Yeah. It'd be like a sacrifice. Like I'm sacrificing for the better good. I'm gonna publicly arrest this person with a public arrest because they're doing it and I'm going to take the fall.
You're gonna risk yourself.
Yeah.
The vid.
Yeah, that's essentially what I'm doing.
All right. Well, I mean, hey, you're the superhero. I'm not going to be a superhero for anyone else. So
I don't blame you.
I grab my stuff. Like if I get food delivered here or whatever, I like grab it, put it on the counter, wash my hands 6 times, put it on different plates. You know,
excellent.
I don't want to be touching what anybody else already touched. So
excellent. That's what
I've been cooking, man. Like my kitchen is a wreck right now because I've been cooking things.
What have you been cooking?
Like pork chops and chicken and stuff like that and hot dogs and bratwurst and, you know, just like mac and cheese, your favorite, of course, you know, all kinds of stuff. But I mean, I've had to like learn how to I've lived here for almost, 2.5 years now. And I got to learn how my kitchen works because I never really used it before.
I guarantee
I'm like,
you.
Oh, yeah. OK.
On
does dishwasher actually do pots and pans? I don't know. It can't. So.
On my deathbed, I would have mac and cheese as one of like my, or I guess on death row, I should say, if it was like final meal, part of the final meal would be like home style mac and cheese, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Mine would be just like, I would do, did you ever hear about that one guy that ordered like all this stuff and then refused to eat any of it? So they don't do, I can't remember which state, it might be Kansas or something. But like they don't do death row meals anymore because one guy ordered all this exorbitant stuff and didn't eat it.
So one guy ruined it?
One guy did it. Well, it's because he spent like thousands of dollars on stuff. And then,
I don't know. One guy on death row, like they're going to say the really upstanding citizens on death row, they really expected that one guy was, I don't know. That's pretty petty, though. Can you imagine? That is a petty, petty move of if you want to have the final. Like that's the type of guy that has to have the final say, because if you're going to order all that food and you're going to die and then not eat it just out of principle, like that's
you ruined it for all the other murderers. God,
that's next level petty, man. I can appreciate that.
Yeah,
I don't think I have that quite in me. So
no. I mean, that's it's too much.
You know, some might say that the Dallas Cowboys have invested in pettiness, and they made quite a move over the weekend, probably the biggest move. And I will tell you, I mean, you correct me, Bogman, if you feel differently, absolute shocker in my mind. But it also tells the story of the state of the veteran quarterback in this free agency, which I don't think any of us have quite given the credit for. Is seeing Jameis Winston sign with the New Orleans Saints, that was one thing. You know, I still think that to this day it's a shocker of a guy in his youth. He's thrown a lot of picks and whatever, but this is a guy that a team could go take a shot on, even if it's a 1 year to maybe sign up for, you know, for future. But this was a young quarterback that you don't see hit the market a whole bunch, sign a contract and be a backup in New Orleans. So that was one thing. You've got two other guys that were out in the market. Or him, and then you had Cam Newton that was out in the market, and we've all really been trying to place any of these guys as starters. Well, Andy Dalton had asked for his release on Thursday from the Cincinnati Bengals. And I presumed when that happened, when he asked for the release, it was like, oh, there's something in the works. You know, that's the type of move you make where it's like, I got to get this done, this deal done quick because I'm going to be a starter somewhere. He asked for his release. And then over the weekend, he does not sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He does not sign with where everybody thought he was going to go with the New England Patriots. He signed a backup deal with the Dallas Cowboys. And Bogman, Dak Prescott fans are livid.
Yeah, I understand them being upset, but Dak is asking for a ton of money. So much money.
They're not having it, so, man. They are not having
I get it. Well, look, Jerry Jones can afford it, but it's not really about being able to afford the contract. It's the salary cap constraints it puts your team in for the rest of that contract. That's what happens when, you know, you pay your quarterback a ton of money, is now it's harder to sign all of the parts around him, and teams get nervous about that. And they already gave Zeke a ton of money. And let's be honest here, between Zeke and Dak, Zeke is the workhorse. Obviously, he's not going to last as long.
But you don't pay halfbacks
in the NFL
anymore.
You're nothing in the NFL if you don't have a quarterback. So
yeah, I mean, I agree.
You know,
I agree
Andy
with
Dalton
that.
Never got it done with Cincinnati. I don't think he's going to get it done with Dallas. Offense is better though.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's necessarily the whole point. Is like, is Andy Dalton going to get it done? It was, you went out and signed a veteran starting caliber quarterback in the NFL when you're in contract negotiations with potentially your big future quarterback. Now, I think you can obviously make the argument around what the New Orleans Saints did. You know, the New Orleans Saints went out and picked up Jameis Winston to back up Drew Brees as a safety net. You know, when you have a glut of riches and you've got the money to go out and do it, take a backup quarterback because, like you said, it's the most important thing that you could have on your team. And if you're going to be a team that is in it to win it, you want to be covered on both ends. But the Dallas Cowboys situation seems a little bit uniquely different because, like, this heavy contract negotiation, this move isn't seen as like a backup move. This move is seen by many people as a scapegoat to not pay Dak Prescott. Dez Bryant, former Dallas Cowboy, jumped into the foray, which I think there's a lot of, I mean, it's also becoming very like sociopolitical, and there's a lot of stuff with it that's happening. But Dez Bryant kind of jumped in here, and this is where you're going to see a lot of this stuff, I think, this coming week talked about. Dez Bryant said this in a tweet. This was like sometime Saturday. He goes, "Nothing against Andy Dalton because I think he's a great player, but the Cowboys are extremely out of line. Pay Dax."
Yeah, they're not, though.
I know. I watched the Cowboys pay Tony twice, once without a winning record. I guess the Cowboys viewing the quarterback position a plug-in piece because of the dominant offense. So he towed the line there a little bit with some of the stuff that we're talking about here. Of a lot of people are going to say, why won't you pay Dak when you've paid Tony and you bring in Andy Dalton to play a multitude of roles here? If Dak tries to play hardball, he's taken that negotiating out, and it seems kind of like a little bit of a slap in the face.
Oh, this is a chess move for sure. You know, you go and you get Andy Dalton, which, by the way, the landing spot kind of makes sense to me because he played at TCU, which is in Dallas. So that's where he's from. Yeah. He actually was born in the same city in Houston I was, or Texas, Katy, which is right outside of Houston. So, I mean, I get the Red Rifle, by the way, the Welsh
Red Rocket,
of course.
Red Rocket.
I get him wanting to be in Dallas. And also, look, you know, everything Dez said is right. They paid Tony Romo twice. And how many Super Bowls did they win again with Tony Romo?
None of them.
Was it zero?
None of them.
Okay. So it was zero. So maybe, just maybe, the Cowboys have taken a different approach to the quarterback position than they had in years past. I mean, Dak is great, but he's not what Troy Aikman was in his heyday, right?
No.
I think Dak has the ceiling to be a top five quarterback in the league. I know Cowboys fans have already put him there. But like I said, signing a guy that's really good, like Dak, hamstrings the rest of your franchise. And maybe they've already hamstrung themselves with Zeke. So I don't know what their plan is moving forward, but Dak is not, or Dez is not right about him at all. You know, like, that Jerry Jones doesn't owe anything to Dak Prescott. It, you know, he can sign his franchise tag or not, and then walk next year. Or they can do the, I don't even know if the in the new collective bargaining agreement, they still have where you can do the franchise tag 2 years in a row, but it like doubles, or it's like, you know, that and a half of whatever you franchise him for the year before. I mean, he'd be getting like, you know, $60 million or something. He'd take up half the salary cap. So that doesn't make any sense. So you slap the franchise tag on him. You try to work it out during the season. And if you can't, then he's an unrestricted free agent. Or maybe you sign Andy Dalton. You
let him learn the offense for a full year. He gets a comeback home to Texas. He learns the offense. Dak walks.
Well, not walks, but what I'm saying is maybe you go with Andy Dalton for this year. And maybe you start talking to teams that need a quarterback right now.
Well, there would be
maybe
no reason.
Maybe you talk to the Broncos. Maybe you talk to the Jaguars. Just explore all your options.
Oh, you're saying like the Cowboys explore trading Dak right now?
Sign and trade.
Man,
yeah.
I can't imagine. See, I just can't imagine that happens.
I can't imagine that would be the situation either. And for the record, I think that they're eventually going to pay Dak, but you have to get a good backup quarterback anyway. So I think Andy Dalton is kind of a nice fit anyway, but this is also, like you mentioned, this is a chess move for the Cowboys, saying, all right, well, we've got Andy Dalton, so if you want to sit, he'll start the whole year.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly, I'm torn with this. I'm really torn with it because it's definitely a chess move. I don't think that's in question here, but my problem, I think, ultimately, and money will speak at the end of the day. I mean, Jerry Jones knows money speaks, but like, this seems like a really bad public relations issue with the player. Like, you know, you bringing in a quarterback of Andy Dalton's caliber. This isn't like the Bears trading for Nick Foles or a team bringing in Colt McCoy. This is Andy Dalton you brought in that I could see how it could rub the players the wrong way. And it could, I don't know, theoretically want Dak to get out of there, especially if you play around with it too far. At the end of the day, I guess the Andy Dalton side of it is really shocking. You know, if you're still trying to make your money, was this just a pure play to come and play at home, you know, come back to Texas or something like that? But was there really not a viable option anywhere else in Jacksonville or New England? And I think what a bigger piece of this is, we got to go to a break here.
We got another minute, but Dallas is, you know, where Bengals quarterbacks go to die, right? So remember John Kitna? John Kitna went to Dallas and backed up forever. He backed up Romo forever, and I think that's when Andy Dalton is going to wind. Andy Dalton is interested in competing, but I think at this point in his career, he's more interested in making as much money as he can before he retires.
Okay, so let me phrase it like this. That's a good point that you bring up. Was this a move to cash your checks and die, figuratively, in the NFL? Or is this a bigger landscape to what the quarterback situation looks like in the NFL? And
yes,
is this, and this is what we're going to tease going into the other side of the break, is this a roadmap to what we need to be on the lookout for Cam Newton? Because Jameis Winston signed, Andy Dalton released and signed, both viable backups on big teams. So what move does Cam Newton have if you look at the roadmap of what Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston did? Not much. Doesn't seem like much. Let's talk about that on the other side of the break. More in this league coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
What's up, friendos? It is the beginning of the month. It is May 4th as we are doing this. Oh, Bogman, may the 5th be with you tomorrow. Did you know that...
May the 4th be with you, but okay.
Oh, is it May the 4th? Oh, that is today? Oh, that's a brutal... Yeah. That's a brutal mess right there.
Good Lord. May the 5th be with you, what, of alcohol? May the 5th be with you.
No, you're right. It's today.
I mean, that's Cinco de Mayo, so...
I was thinking of Cinco... I mixed up what Disney Plus did today with May the 4th be with you. You're 100% right, with Cinco de Mayo, which means absolutely nothing to me, by the way. I'm not into drinking holidays. You're 100% right. That's embarrassing. Tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. Who cares? Except for all the awesome news coverage we're going to get of the amount of people that decide to say, I don't care about your stay at home.
Really
yep, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Huntington Beach. May the 4th be with you. That is today, and I believe Disney Plus has dropped the brand new Star Wars on there. I think that's available on the stream, and they're doing a whole big ado for Star Wars. So go check out Disney Plus if you're into that. Yeah, I think the last movie.
Oh, okay.
I think they were doing it early on Disney Plus. So now all the movies are available. They just recently released the last season of Clone Wars, and I mean, it would have been better if they would release like a new Mandalorian, but you know, whatever. Yeah. So May the 5th.
I mean, are we even going to have that for next year?
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to have for next year. It's going to be a lot of quick production. A lot of quick production is going to be put through here. But
we see so many coffee cups in the background next to the dragon.
There's going to be a lot of Starbucks cups with Daenerys and stuff. But the point was, it is beginning of the month, and it is a perfect time if you've been on the fence about joining up with the ITL Army. We would love to have you over on our Patreon. Names aside, links aside, whatever. The deal is, you're directly supporting Bogman and I, and we do a whole bunch of stuff. We've got a different list, the prospect list, which as you're listening to this today, I usually wait till Monday. We should wait till a couple days after the first to release my prospect stuff. That should be up today. We got the Dynasty stuff, brand new secret shows dropping this week. We've got GroupMe rooms where everybody can interact, talk about all the latest that's going on. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, you guys are directly supporting us. So if that is something you're interested in, just go to InThisLeague.com. It'll take you right to our Patreon, and you can choose how you want to sign up, and you get a whole month ahead of you. So that's why May is pretty, pretty cool. So we were talking about Andy Dalton signing with the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, I posed the question, is this a roadmap to what the quarterback landscape looks like in free agency, a la Cam Newton? But I don't think it even needs to be a question, because it's an obvious. It obviously is the roadmap to what is going on in the landscape of football right now. If the Patriots wanted Andy Dalton, he would be a Patriot. He would not be a backup with the Dallas Cowboys, guarantee you. If the Jacksonville Jaguars wanted him, you've got a familiarity with the offense, you've got familiarity with the coach, I think that would happen. Obviously, these teams with any type of need don't want these guys. Same thing with the Denver Broncos. I keep trying to shove my thought process of Cam Newton in with them. It's not going to happen because of Drew Lock. So there isn't a viable spot, and Cam Newton's going to have to come to terms with this unless he wants to play this, like, I'm going to wait till someone gets hurt. So I said the question is, this is obviously the roadmap, and Cam Newton is going to have to sign as a backup if he wants to play in the NFL in 2020, Boggs.
Yeah, and I don't know that he wants to play bad enough to sit behind someone, to be honest with you. I mean, Cam Newton looked like he didn't want to play football, you know, in the couple games that he played before getting hurt last year. He just looked like, you know, the attitude and the body language was so terrible that there is just no way I'd bring that guy into my organization.
And you think he muddies the waters on a team?
Well, he definitely muddies the waters. And that's the problem of bringing in, you know, like, Dak Prescott is so much better than Andy Dalton. He's so much better than Andy Dalton. Agreed. You'd agree with that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, but it's kind of a slap in the face because this dude has starting experience. And does Dak need to be threatened? Or is this such a move to where, you know, and we both agree that it is, that Jerry Jones is saying, well, F you, if you don't want to play, we'll go with this guy. So your move, you know, we both agree that's probably it. But I think more than that, the quarterback position, this is what I was talking about when the Packers signed Jordan Love and the Eagles or drafted him and the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts and people were freaking out about that stuff. You know, I understand that like quarterback is such a shaky position and you never want to be threatened if you have your main guy, because if you have two quarterbacks, what it really means is you have no quarterbacks. So I understand the psychology behind it and stuff, but you have to have, it's such an important position in the NFL. It's the most important position. You have to have a good backup. You know, I don't think I'm willing to go into the season if I'm, you know, if I'm Doug Peterson with Nate Sudfeld as my backup to Carson Wentz, knowing that he's missed 9 games in the last 4 years, you know, and last season he ended with a concussion. Remember in the playoff game, he had a concussion. He went out after 4 pass attempts and didn't come back. So knowing his injury history, I want to have a good backup quarterback. And I think even without an injury history, you should want to have a good backup quarterback. So this is 100,000% the roadmap that the NFL needs to start taking, because the Steelers, like, statistically had the best defense in the league last year, but they couldn't do anything on offense. They didn't score 28 points in one game last year.
Well,
because they don't have a good quarterback.
And I'm not so sure it's even necessarily like the NFL needs to turn to it. I think this is this might be coming similar to the state of running backs, where running backs have become expendable. And I think there's a more defined line on what a franchise quarterback is. And I think NFL owners and coaches, it looks like they're more putting their foot down and defining what this is to a much harder degree, where there might only be 6 or 7 of those guys. And then there's the quarterbacks that you're building around to see if they are, and anybody in between, they just don't have time for, which wouldn't have been the case necessarily multiple years ago. You know, 10 years ago, would a team like the Panthers have given up on a guy like Cam Newton for Teddy Bridgewater? Absolutely not. It's different. It's about scheme. It's about this completely different change in the NFL. Well,
coaches didn't change that much, that often back in the day either. You know, now it's, you have two bad seasons in a row and you're gone.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are plenty of playoff teams. Remember, your Niners fired Jim Harbaugh after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they
got them in the Super Bowl and he was gone.
And they fired Mariucci after a playoff run because he just didn't get far enough in the playoffs. You're absolutely right. So what I was saying was, it's not necessarily like the NFL has to turn necessarily to this degree. I think it's the value of depth at the quarterback position is changing. So you're going to see veterans who could have, you know, could still be young and maybe even seen as franchise quarterbacks being thrown into a position of having to be part of a competition. Or you're going to see what we saw in the draft. You're going to see teams investing more highly, even in a guy when they don't have a role, like Jalen Hurts or Jordan Love. So you're going to see a little bit more of that. What I wanted to do real quick, taking off the table the teams that like look like they have a spot, Jacksonville, New England, and I know I've said Denver. Let's talk about maybe a few spots that Cam Newton could end up signing. And I'm going to go through the team's bogs, and you just give me some yays and nays. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I immediately want to say that one of these would be interesting. I want to say that Arizona, Atlanta immediately have to be taken off. But boy, I don't know. Cam Newton, he might not be the worst thing in the world for Arizona to bring in as a backup, because they got nothing behind Kyler Murray.
Yeah, so this is, you're absolutely right about that. They have nothing behind Murray. So Brett Hundley is not, we saw him replace Aaron Rodgers the year he went out. And if he was any good, you know, someone would have paid him money, but he's not. So he's stuck backing up Kyler Murray and couldn't beat the rookie out of the starting job last year. So I think that's like, it's a nice fit for Cam Newton, but I think Cam Newton's crappy attitude.
Yeah, you're talking like, well, culture.
I'm just not going to sit behind a second year guy.
Yeah, but like if he signs, it's under that guy's. Like that's my only argument to this. Like they could approach him and then he'd be like, well, I'm not going to do that. And then he never gets signed. But if he signs, it's going to be an agreement. It's going to be in similar agreement to like what Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton are. So,
I think if he wants to play this year, he's going to have to swallow his pride and sign his backup somewhere.
Well, and that's what we're talking about here. Let's figure out where he's swallowing his pride. Baltimore and Buffalo, let's say nay, nay. None of those either were horses here. That doesn't make sense. He's not going back to Carolina. Chicago's already made their move, so they're out. Cincinnati, Cleveland, out. Dallas has made their move. Denver, I still think, makes all the sense in the world. And frankly, I still think they could sign him, but maybe Drew Lock is the starter. But I don't know. I feel like that would have happened. Now, the only reason why that Denver move could still happen and Drew Lock could still be the starter is Cam could view that as a best possibility if Drew starts to blow.
Right.
That they could, that he could have an opportunity to play this year. Because I think Cam Newton is different in the Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston scenario, where he wants to be in a spot where he is playing like that. Him specifically, he's trying to get a big contract next year. So he wants to play. So even if Denver offered a backup role, I still think that might be viable.
Yeah. To me, it's less about Cam Newton and Drew Lock. And it's more about John Elway wanting to make one of his quarterback picks successful. So I think that he's not going to bring in anyone to breathe down Drew Lock's neck because he wants to make him as comfortable as possible to let him work out. And that's why he got all those tools for him. So
that's a good point.
I don't think that that'll happen, but I do think that that might be Cam's best option to play, to be on a team this year.
I agree. Detroit, I'm going to say no. Detroit and obviously Green Bay, those are big no's. Houston and Indianapolis, those are no's. Jacksonville, we know what's out there. We know Fournette would want to have him. I think it's similar stuff, though Jacksonville may just commit to a tanking situation. Kansas City, let's say no, even though if you want to back up, there's a spot. Las Vegas has made their moves. Los Angeles, they've got Bortles and Goff, so I'm going to say no, no, easy there. The Chargers are another one of those Denver type spots, but I feel like they've got their Tyrod.
Well, Taylor and Herbert, so.
Yeah, Tyrod just makes it a no. So Miami's a no. So really, we've only identified Denver and Arizona at this point. Minnesota and New England just doesn't seem like a viable spot. So I'm going to say no, no.
Yeah.
New Orleans, no. But okay, follow me on this one for a minute. What about the New York Giants with Danny Dimes? I know they got Colt McCoy, so they do have a viable second option. Do you think that would be a spot where Cam would be willing to sign and the Giants would even want him?
I don't think that the Giants want him, but I think that that's that situation like Denver. But I think, you know, Gettleman has a little, I mean, they all have ego, but
yeah.
I think Gettleman has a little less ego about it than Elway does. But, you know, second year guy, you don't want to put it, most of the time, those second year guys are still kind of working their way out. You don't want to bring in a vet to really breathe down their neck.
The only, you know? Now, what about the other New York team, though? Because that one, I agree with you. I don't believe in that one. But the Jets seem like they don't have a viable backup. You know, I mean, Darnold is solid and everything like that, but they got a lot of weapons around this team. I don't know, man. I feel like the Jets could be one of those sneaky ones where Cam comes in thinking, you know, if things go off the rails, that they might, implement him into the system.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they did spend a fourth round pick on James Morgan, and Sam Darnold was over 500 starting last year. He's 7-6. So I think they're kind of confident in their room right now, but if that's an option, I would love to see Cam sign there.
Okay,
because he could beat out. I like Darnold too, but he could beat out Darnold.
So I've only got two more teams here that I think are viable. You're going to eliminate the 49ers. We're going to eliminate the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to eliminate the Tennessee Titans. So here are the only other two teams: Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers did not get their quarterback. They had apparently approached Jameis Winston. The only other guy out there that they could really bank back on would be Cam Newton. And I think it makes a lot of sense, Bogman. I think Cam in Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense with Ben's injury history. I feel like Cam would be a Tomlin guy. I think this one makes a lot of sense.
I mean, it makes a ton of sense, and I would love to see it happen. I just don't know that. I don't know if Cam is going to be, he's just so prickly, man. Is he going to be willing to take a pay cut? I mean, not like what Jameis Winston.
But again, I think he knows. Like, what's the alternative? You don't play. You miss a year of maturation as a quarterback. and you try to go into free agency with a contract, or you sign and you take the pay cut. Like, I get your point, but like, Pittsburgh's no different than any of the other guys. Like, can't, under what we're talking about, this scenario, Cam has to know he's a backup and he's taking a pay cut wherever he goes. So now you're just talking about situation that he thinks is most beneficial. And it probably comes down to, you know, really one of two things. It's going and playing under a contender that has a viable backup spot, or going to a place that's probably not a contender that you might be able to supplant the current starting quarterback. And, you know, this is the former.
I mean, I would love to see it, because I, you know, obviously don't like what they have in the quarterback room behind Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh right now. I just don't think that Cam wants to walk in and be the guy, and he won't do that in Pittsburgh. He would do that in Jacksonville, in New York, with the Jets, with the Broncos, with a lot of teams. He would walk in and command the room. He just wouldn't in Pittsburgh. You know, Roethlisberger's been there for too long. He's the guy. So. Yeah. I don't think that's a situation that Cam is willing to go to, but I personally would love it. Like, I'm fingers crossed. I really hope that happens, because I want a viable quarterback behind Ben should he get hurt again.
The last one is probably the most obvious one, and I think this is at the top of the list, and I'm going to order Pittsburgh as number two. Arizona is going to be number three, and my number one is going to still be the Washington Redskins, because there is a familiarity with Ron Rivera. Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback currently. They did trade for Kyle Allen, so there is that. I'm not sure how much they're looking to push anything, but this is a situation where there's a lot of things that come into play here. There's a viable spot where he could go day one. He could supplant the quarterback. There's familiarity. It gets him playing time. Money is whatever at this point, because he's playing for next year's contract. The Washington Redskins have to be the leader of the pack for Cam Newton in 2020.
Yeah, I think you're right about the Redskins leading the pack. I think he might be holding out for Jacksonville, too. I put those 1-2, but I don't think Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville wants a tank for one of those top end quarterbacks next year.
All right. Well, don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up on the other side. You can follow Bogman and I on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Fellas, don't go anywhere. One more segment of In This League on the Daily right here.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Welcome back, In This League. Go and check us out on the baseball pod side this week, because we got a couple good episodes. It is Mock Draft May on the In This League baseball podcast front, Bogman. Mock drafts every single week in May, just to get everybody's juices a-pumpin'.
Mock draft May. We got to do it again. I mean, we got to bring it back, you know.
No.
Normally we would be doing maybe a football mock in May, but we got to bring back mock draft May for the shortened season. So let's go.
That's right. One of the things we're going to be talking about too, it's like today. So if you guys, I don't know, maybe you're listening to this after the fact and you already know, but if you haven't and you caught it here first, because this might actually get released a little bit before, is we're going to talk a little bit of KBO action. We've got Dan Kurtz, who runs mykbo.net. It's a fan site about KBO, but he's kind of been thrusted in as an authority on the KBO side because the Korean Baseball League is starting up tomorrow on Tuesday, and it's going down. I saw this, and I'll probably mention this on the baseball podcast, so my apologies for doubling up here, but Baseball Brit, I don't know if you follow Baseball Brit, he put out a really interesting tweet that I dug, and he essentially made an equivalent of the KBO teams to major league teams. So you want to hear this real quick? So there are 10 KBO teams, and I'll mention this again on the KBO episode we do on the baseball pod, but the Doosan Bears, he says, equal the Yankees. So they're the powerhouse. They've got all the stars, all the money, the free agents, that type of stuff. So the Doosan Bears equal the Yankees, Bogman. So we immediately don't like them.
Yeah, we don't like the Bears. No. We know that.
The Hanwha Eagles, he says, equal the Royals. So that means probably low payroll. Yeah, exactly. Very
owner hates pornography.
Dude, you stole the joke right there. They hate, they're anti-pornography 100%.
Their pitcher drives through the Burger King drunk.
Yeah, there's like one really good player on the team, something like that. Now, here's another one. The Kia Tigers equal the Cardinals. So that means like they really develop their pitching staffs really good. They tap into their hitters and pitchers probably better than other teams, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a good comparison. So you want to be the Cardinals.
Yeah. The Kaiwoom Heroes equal the Rays. So that means no one attends and they have the absolute lowest payroll of any other teams. But they like to implement openers. Yep. And they can, they're a very highly analytical team. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. I would think so, too. Lots of openers, lots of weird stuff going on.
Yep.
Maybe weird stuff in the outfield and the infield as well. So I like that. Does Joe Madden run them?
I mean, maybe. The KT Wiz, this might be my team, by the way, equal the Padres. So I'm guessing this is going to be like a, you know, building to the future, stalking young players, trying to tap it all in. Maybe they are trade heavy. The KT Wiz equal the Padres.
It could be, you know, just right by the ocean, too, though.
Let's see. That's a good point.
And have a stadium that is not conducive for hitting and is conducive for pitching.
Maybe they were in one like province and then they got moved to like another type of thing. I guess the Padres didn't really do that, but that's all the other San Diego teams. The LG Twins equal the Dodgers, Bogman. So they're hated by everybody is my assumption.
Don't like them.
Nope.
Don't just like the Yankees. The Twins.
The Lot Giants equal the Cubs. So maybe they just haven't won in a long time.
How can the Giants equal the Cubs? Come on.
I 100%. Well, but he's doing comps, like MLB equivalents for everyone's understanding. The NC Dinos are the Brewers team. So that means just, you know, not that
good.
Fat
people.
Yeah, fat people, not that good. Whatever. Yeah, wherever that is in the country, it's just a bunch of fatties.
They all look like me.
Yeah. The Samsung Lions equal the Braves. And then the SK Wyverns equal the actual San Francisco Giants. So that is Baseball Brit, that is his equivalent of the KBO teams for people to wrap their head around. And what we're going to do on our episode, if people check it out, is we're going to talk about the players with Dan Kurtz. I told him that we're going to kind of be player focused. He's not a fantasy guy, but I did see him mentioning some stuff that, you know, there might be some good deals right out in day one, because I think there's some daily contests and I think RotoWire. I think DraftKings is jumping into this, but RotoWire is doing like a big thing, dude. I saw our boy Clay prepping for the probable starters. And I think, I don't know if they're, I mean, they don't have a, at least as far as I know, RotoWire doesn't have like a platform to play on or something like that. But they're doing something. I think they're doing a whole bunch of stuff out there to get people prepped if they're going out and playing on, you know, whatever it is, any daily fantasy sports, or I don't know of a single site. You said you reached out to FanTrax, who would have been the theoretical place you would have thought KBO would have happened, and they ain't doing anything.
Yeah, they're not doing it. I think, you know, the DraftKings running a daily thing would be great. I mean, you either have to be a real night owl or a West Coaster to watch those games, because, you know, while they technically start on the 5th, because of the time difference for us, they start at 10 p.m. tonight on May the 4th. So I'm guessing ESPN is going to carry them live, maybe replay them during the day or something. I'm not really sure. I know ESPN worked the plan with them, but that it's going to be fun, man. Like, there's going to be baseball on TV, and I even see people getting excited about NASCAR, which is going to return, I guess, on May 17th. So
you imagine we're just like the quarantine has literally turned us back into like the 80s. We're just becoming, we're all becoming hillbillies. We're like, yeah, NASCAR. This foreign baseball is amazing.
Well, this is like when you take the drugs away from the drug addict, and then, you know, you start slowly introducing them back. They'll take anything.
Yeah.
You
know. I'm looking right here. DraftKings, they've got a whole thing up. The top DraftKings DFS fantasy KBO targets and values for May 5th is already up. We're going to do this. I'm going to save this for, it's going to be over on the ITL baseball pod for sure. But they're going to be running games. They've already got targets. We'll talk to Dan Kurtz about who he thinks the best players in the league are and people to watch for, and we'll even compare them against targets. So, I mean, this is, I'm telling you, man, this is the trial run for MLB. I don't know if you saw, there was another report that came out.
I am so sick of those reports.
I know. Well, this is just a tiny one, but I believe Heyman is reporting on it, that baseball is, they've literally gone full circle, which is the funniest thing on the planet. They've gone full circle to saying they're now, proposed hope plan is that by late June, early July, everybody's just back in their own states and the majority of teams can just play in their own stadiums and they would now play about 80 games. That's kind of what they're talking about. I know.
God, you know, after all the speculation, I guess, you know, it's what you have to do when you're not making any money to pull people towards your stuff. You have to at least give weird news about it, even if the news isn't correct, or you know it's not right, just leak out whatever you possibly can to try to get something going. And I guess that's what they were doing with all these Arizona plans and then Arizona and grapefruit plans and all this stuff. I do love that the NFL is just like, nope, we're good.
Yeah, if anything, they're like, we're going to monopolize college football. Those losers are not going to play on Saturdays. We'll just take that slot. Like, they're just out there. They're like they're a literal monopoly company. They're just trying to buy out everybody. They're the evil for sure. But like, I also kind of think what they might have been doing, baseball might be trying to mitigate the worry that people are having with all these different ideas and just being like, we're trying to have it all normal. Because,
but
you know,
they're going to, okay, but that it's going to backfire if nothing happens. If there are no games, then people are going to freak the F out when you guys had all these plans and you couldn't come up, you couldn't settle on one. Because of money, they're going to look greedy and stupid.
Of course, if they don't get something money. Going. Yeah, well, because if it's because of money, but that's what I'm getting at here, man. Is I think this week and let's just call it the next 3 weeks, I think are really important. And I know it's hard to believe, of course, but if you could have imagined that, you know, the Korean Baseball League could play such an important role into baseball, I think it's real. I think it's something that people should consider because, you know, how they do it, I think baseball is going to try to emulate. And they want to see how well received is it. Obviously, the timing is a little bit different, but they're going to be able to gauge, you know, if the gambling goes way up and if the viewership, even on weird, you know, late night stuff and replays goes up, you're going to, and especially the, you know, the kind of the outpouring of conversation around it, baseball's going to, they're going to have a platform and they're getting like a trial run. You know, how the vaccines are being out there, you know, being tested. This is baseball's version of being able to see MLB's version of seeing what baseball can look like under the standards, and they don't have to run it. So I think this is critical because if you have a player get it and the league shuts down or, you know, there's a really bad backlash or protest. I don't even know. To be honest with you, I just don't even know. Maybe players
there's
backlash.
Too many
there's a lot of U.S. players that are playing there as well. Maybe you could have a whole set of players freak out. There's a lot of scenarios that the next 3 weeks can kind of unveil for MLB to, you know, kind of copy off of a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it's smart. You know, you don't have to make your own mistakes, learn from them. You can watch other people make mistakes and learn from those people, which is what most kids do with their parents. You know what I mean? You watch and see and go, okay, well, I know I'm not going to do that. And you don't have to, you know, not everything has to be a real world experience for you where you crash and burn and learn from it. You can learn from other people's mistakes too. And it's smart of MLB to do this. And it's smart for the KBO to be the first one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
they get a chance to pull some people in, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, ESPN, I don't know if this deal extends beyond this year, but, you know, people, if this is something and people get into a routine of watching these games and stuff, they could really pull in a whole brand new market. So I think it's really smart for KBO to try to be the first to get themselves some notoriety and some money, and baseball to sit back and, you know, learn what mistakes are made from this. So
I think it's really good. It's going to be really good for the gambling sites too, to be honest with you. I think DraftKings and FanDuel, they're going to see a huge tick in this. And I think and I'm talking more long term though, because you know, there's always a degenerate out there that's waiting till, you know, 2 a.m. to watch some tennis match and bet on it, or, you know, some rugby match or something like this. This is going to...
I feel called out.
Well, I mean, you never did the rugby one. You didn't do the tennis either.
No.
You would do the baseball games, though.
Oh, yeah. I would do the baseball games, the basketball games. That's why, like, I made a bunch of money betting on football. And then this is when I was gambling. And now Arizona is just so stringent on it, we can't do it. But then I'm like, oh, I'm great at football. I'll probably be good at basketball, too. Nope.
Different animal.
Not nearly as good.
But so. it really does have the opportunity where they can, I think they'll run a lot more games. You know, I think you'll actually see physical games being run, at least for the next couple years, because the KBO can pull a share in this year. They'll probably have some excitement rolling into next year as long as they do it well. And, you know, it's lively there. There's a lot of stuff. There's big bat flips you see a lot of. There's a lot more respect that's kind of done culturally where, I say respect, where, like, you know, guys can do big, crazy bat flips and you're not going to see people beating them in the face, you know, trying to knock out their retina because they hit a homer 400 feet and then they flip the bat, you know, 10 feet high. Guys aren't going to lose their vision for the rest of their lives in the Korean Baseball League. Maybe I'm being presumptuous, but
I mean, they don't, you know, not everyone's a headhunter in the States either, but you are going to get some chin music. So
yeah, a little bit. Do you see, the MLB The Show Players League came to an end, and Blake Snell, the champion, the number one stunner, beat. I didn't realize Lucas Giolito was a dude. Apparently he was. A couple pitchers in here, maybe no shock, but Giolito got to the Players Championship, and I almost texted him, but, you know, is there a coincidence that the only player in MLB that has talked and played with our boy Paul Spohr happens to be the one that won? I didn't see anybody else. I didn't see anybody else in there.
Who was it that said someone got their ass kicked so bad in this tournament, they're like, I'm just not playing this game anymore. I'm done with it.
I didn't see that, but I did see Josh Hart, I think it was, from the Lakers, was playing Call of Duty or one of those games, and he got killed in the game, and he was live streaming. He got so mad on camera after the dude sniped him, that he got up, ripped his keyboard out, smashed it on the floor, jumped on it three times, and then picked it up and threw it across his house. And I was like, that's a guy that we can all relate with. We've all been there.
Yeah. I mean, I never with a camera on me, but I have.
Well, we didn't have cameras back when we were playing.
That's true. But, well, I mean, not to use to record us playing. No one cared about that back then. I mean, maybe they did, but we just didn't do it. But yeah, I mean, I remember I've broken a fair share of controllers. And the funniest part was my buddy Joe, who used to play the show with me, and a different Joe, not Joe Pizzapia, but we used to play college football, Madden and stuff too. He broke one of my controllers, but it was funny because it just slipped out of his hand and it hit like the chair weird and snapped in half. And he's like, you know how many times I've thrown this damn thing and nothing's happened to it? And the one time it slips out of my paw, it cracks in half. I'm like, yep, well, that'll be $60. So.
I'm not sure if I've ever broken a controller. Like, I know I get mad about games and stuff like that. Like, I think I'm more likely to have punched a wall than I was to take a controller and toss it across a room. I don't think I've ever broken one.
I definitely lost part of a security deposit because I hucked my controller at the wall. And you could see the perfect PS2, controller in the wall, and they had to fix it when I moved out. So.
The Tampa Bay Rays, they tweeted, it's a funny picture, dude. On the right, it's got American League 2011 wild card. It's the actual banner in the stadium, and they photoshopped next to it Snellzilla 2020 Players League champion. And there's like a couple dudes with their hands up, like they're helping raise the flag. That's a pretty funny one. So Blake Snell doing the Players League, which I don't know. I just don't. I think I didn't get quite into it because I don't
I don't, not that I, my own recourse here. Like, I just, I don't play MLB The Show. I would like to. That would probably be something I would be into. But I don't think I was quite into it as much as some people. But I'm also not sure, I don't know if I'm skewed because I didn't play it as much. But I'm not, I don't feel like it was as well received as, like, it's being presented. Am I wrong about that?
The Players tournament?
League. Yeah, the Players League, where, like, one player from each team played. And was it, like, as fun and exciting as everybody?
I pushed it a lot. I mean, maybe it was. I didn't watch it. You know, I don't have, I don't do Twitch that much, but it seemed like it was a big thing that people like. But it also could be, you know, the same people that always played The Show are just really excited because Players are playing right now.
Something you like that. I mean? Yeah, you want to know if everyone wants to know one cool thing. We got that DM we've been waiting for from a certain somebody with our OTP codes.
That's right.
And I downloaded it. Did you download your stuff yet, Box?
I haven't. No, I got to finish my Black Book stuff before
right.
I do
Well,
that.
I just downloaded it. I didn't touch it. I just made sure I downloaded it and put in the code and got them all set up. So maybe in the coming weeks here, a little OTP streaming
nice.
Going on. Little Sim League stuff. I like that. All right, we're out of here. Go and check us out over on the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, KBO, taking listener questions and voicemails. We got a mock draft later this week. We've got more Dynasty football stuff on the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast. Giveaways on Prospect One. Jesus, just go check it out, man. ITL, we're out of here for now. Peace.
For you.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.